Hello everyone. Thank you for joining our podcast. Spicy Mangoes here. Today we have another episode of our Connecting Stories. And in this episode, we are going to talk about we've labeled it as Corona's Corona Future, because we wanted to talk about and discuss what the future holds, what's happening right now with the Corona, and what we think how things might evolve. And today it's a special day because Rahul is joining actually from India. Hi Rahul, how is it going? How are you?
Namaste Kamran.
And namaste sir.
In the local lingo. I'm doing fine, thanks. I think traveling across continents in these unprecedented times, it was quite interesting and it was quite adventurous, but I made it, so I'm happy. And I was tested on return, and I think which is good. I think even though bureaucracy exists, we're still able to travel a lot, travel like on emergencies, that's why I'm here.
And it's good that they have a testing also in place, so they can track at least somehow. Reduce the impact. How are things there in terms of the situation? Do you think it's?
India is quite a big country. And there we are a lot of people. The things are different at different parts of India, but where I am in my own city, things are more or less fine for now. At the moment we speak, in the end of October, that there are not many cases, and right now outside is more or less normal. There is no lockdown, and we have to wear masks, but I think that is fine. So it's okay. I think it's coming back to normal, and people are starting to live with the virus.
To coexist.
Coexistence. Yes.
Yeah. So that's a good maybe start for our discussion. In a way, we could first sort of explore the question of how did we end up here, and what did we expect, and did we realize that we're living in a pandemic and still here, and of course how things have changed from start and now. What do you think, how did we end up here?
I have a story in my mind, because when it was New Year's, I was following memes, and back then I was also on Instagram, and there were several memes which were mentioning that every 100 years we have a plague. Around New Year's in China, we already had those cases, but it was a very domestic issue because there was SARS virus in Asia before, so people didn't think that it would spill over. But anyway, there were memes on the social media that every 100 years there's a plague. So in 1920, 1820, and now this 2020, there's going to be a plague. And then it was a funny meme kind of for a few days in the beginning of the year. Yeah. And then it was funnier a month later, because that really spilled over, and then we really had a pandemic. So those meme makers were future tellers.
So the creator of those memes had a prophetic view of the future, and was able to
somehow it was funny that somebody actually predicted it, but in a funny way, and then we already had it. And living through the plague, I was in Estonia, and Estonia. The country of Estonia, there were not many cases. I think they handled pretty well, and they still are doing it. It's also because they're not several people, and it is possible to social distance. And since everything is online, things can be done online. So I've been working from home. If you have something, you can order. So I think living at home is not really, it's not really that bad of a situation in Estonia. So I'm grateful that I was there. But I think several people have several kinds of experiences. What about you?
There are no large crowds for sure in Estonia. There are not. The population is like 1.3 million, and so that kind of also played a role. And I'm not sure if there are many people coming in to Estonia for tourism, especially around New Year's Eve and stuff. So that might also played a role. But I think maybe you also have this feeling in the beginning that when we heard about this in China, people were like, "Yeah, it's in China. It's not gonna come here." It's probably not very serious. It's probably one of those other types of viruses that we had in the previously. I had this, I think that here in my environment in Belgium as well, like I had this feeling that, okay, well, it's happening there. probably not going to come here. They are doing everything that needs to be done. And then after a couple of weeks, you realize that, situation is kind of out of hand. And the funny thing is that actually the day, so we were traveling to Italy in January, and the January was the period where exactly on that day when the Italian government decided to make checks at the airport, that's the day we left. So and so yeah, but when we were there, there were lots of Chinese tourists, like loads and loads of Chinese tourists, and they come, they visit, they spend money, etc. And that's why, like, to a certain degree, I wasn't surprised that in a way that the situation was like that in Italy. In Belgium, right from the beginning, I think yeah, the there wasn't I don't think there was a bit of a preparation or anything. Nobody really expected, and things really got a bit out of hand, I would say. But in the beginning, it was difficult to get used to it, because like you would go to the shop and now you have to wait in line, and the lines are large. And then in the beginning, it wasn't clear, should we wear a mask or should we not wear a mask? Where do you wear a mask? And so all these things, all these uncertainties and questions, it was, yeah, it was difficult. But you're right, we are now kind of, we got used to living with the virus and living in this environment.
Yeah, I mean, for
And
example, things have changed now. For example, when you had 100 cases per day in some country, then you were so worried. But now the number goes towards thousands, and then you're like, okay, that's how things are then.
oh
You
yeah,
know?
for comparison, in April, I think March, April, like daily cases didn't pass about 1,500, at least in Belgium. And today, daily cases are about 15,000, 15,000 cases. And it's just staggering, and it's ridiculous. If you look at the graph as well, like on the John Hopkins map for the coronavirus, it's the ex it, there's an exponential growth, at least in Belgium, in terms of the increase. I don't know how it is in, yeah, the same in Germany, India, if I check.
Well, I think in the whole of this, I mean, this is a very huge topic, and that people are really doing their best to solve it. But this is something that we haven't expected, and then it just landed on our feet. But maybe I would like to ask you, and then I'll answer myself. How was your time during lockdown when there was a full lockdown? It would probably last, I don't know, how long did it last for you, and how did you manage?
Eternity. It lasted for eternity. Because to be honest, like in the beginning, I was a bit like, oh, nice. Okay. Like we get to spend a bit more time home. Maybe I could spend a bit more time like doing self-development and learning and things like this. But as the time progresses, you want to do some things after work. Like, and especially when in March, I think we went into working from home routine. And so you would wake up and then you would just start working from home. And then after work, you didn't really have much because there was a lockdown. You couldn't go out on the weekend. You have limited options. The same is happening right now. And so in the beginning, I was like, okay, I could spend some time to do self-development, learning, all this kind of stuff. But as the time progressed, maybe a month or so, things became really, yeah, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to have some sort of a social element. I want to go and interact with people. I want to go and sort of meet people, and I want to go to work, etc. But yeah, and for a time in summer, we had the opportunity. So at work, they made it available for us to go once a week, every 3 weeks. So we had like a rotation system implemented, so people at least get to see each other, their colleagues, and work. It's quite challenging for organizations and large organizations, including ING, to have this kind of manage the what is it, motivation at work and employee well-being and things like this. So yeah, but how, what about you?
For me, I think when the lockdown began, it was just quite an eye opener that these kind of things can happen. And now I'm confined to my home. So when this emergency thing was announced in Estonia that you can't leave,
Yeah.
I mean, I was more or less calm. I think we already talked before that life is a joke, so I treated it as one that I was just okay. This is a new phase in life. Let's try
Yeah,
it.
you can't leave, you can't leave. So what, right? It's not
Exactly.
gonna.
So my
Yeah.
attitude was like that, and then I was like, okay, let's do things that what I couldn't do before, and then I started learning languages. I started writing, and then I was also reading, and I was actually quite following many countries and news of those countries, how they're coping up, because I think it was around March and April when everything kind of spill over all over the world. And then I was thinking, like, what about people who, believe in supernatural? That
Yeah.
would they blame Corona on them, or would they think that this is their abomination, or how would they justify? Because I think most of the religious places were also closed. So if you really believe in something that can save you, can't they save you from this?
You mean from you mean like how would religious people explain?
For me,
Yeah,
it was
but
quite interesting that.
it's simple,
And
it's a test. Just like life is,
yeah. So that's how I got the answer that I had this question, like how would religious people explain this uneven that they had to close down their worship places. So that means the worship places aren't even safe. So that's how you reply. I mean, so you adapt and you overcome. So in a situation like this, so I think in any kind of situation, just supernatural comes later, but practical things are first, and then you
and then you
adapt
think.
and then you overcome and then you give a reason later.
Yeah, justify things afterwards.
But for me, I think it was quite interesting the time with I spent by myself. I think the first thing I did, I deactivated my Instagram. So that was,
But why
I
did you
think.
deactivate it? It's not like people were gonna go out and start taking pictures. They're like, it's me, and I don't know.
But I think I know myself that I would not stop scrolling because now I had all the time in the world to scroll. So I just
Yeah,
wanted
the
to.
infinite scroll. Yeah, I
Yeah,
see.
so actually, not just Instagram. I deactivated my Instagram and Facebook. So I had no social media except just WhatsApp. So people who I can talk to can talk. But other than that, I really have to live with myself. So,
And you also, I know that you unfollowed a lot of people. So Rahul's friends, if you're listening to this podcast, he unfollowed you.
not
You
all
might
of
not
you.
be, not all of you, but him, you might be unaware, but he is not following you anymore. So.
Well, if you propagate extreme views, then yes.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a topic for a separate podcast. The definition of extreme views. Yeah. So, in that perspective, it was like a good opportunity for you to sort of look inwards and spend more a bit time on yourself.
But I know. I mean, I cannot fully comprehend, of course, the situation because for some people, this has been really hard. They have lost jobs. I mean, I also felt it by myself because I work in aviation, and aviation is hit hard, and still is. And we had laid off. So I was also laid off for partial laid off for 2 months, which was during summer. But I actually took them as a vacation that I didn't have. So. For me, I didn't take it in a bad sense, but I know some people also had to lose their jobs. But so this whole situation is actually quite pessimistic, but I think it's just good to be optimist as much as you can.
Exactly. But
So
you started this podcast with me, so that was
yes,
a good opportunity.
yes, of course.
Yeah.
How about you? Did you do something new or?
Well, I spent some time, as I said, like quite a bit of time doing education, self-learning, mostly related to work. And nothing really extra. I was planning to do a bit of
You
language
got a
learning.
cat.
Yeah, we got a cat, and we spent some time with her. And I was planning to, we were planning also to. I was planning to also like do a bit of language learning and stuff, and then potentially maybe driving lessons and stuff. But after the lockdowns and everything, I was like, yeah, maybe it's not worth it. I'm not going to use that language anyways as much. I only need to know some French words when I go to the shops,
Merci.
and even then it's limited. And they speak in some of these shops, they speak English, and you can sort of navigate your way through. But yeah, I spent maybe a bit more time to do self-learning and yeah, exploring things.
But I think that's how things should be. I mean, if you get some time, I think you should make the best out of it, whatever time it is.
True, but now, like, when you start having too much time, that's when it's a bit like, okay, well, I don't know what else to do, you know? Like, okay, I did this, that's fun.
I think it's full of learning. You can always learn more.
Yeah, but you
Yeah, but
also
the
need to be,
motivation,
yeah,
yeah, the
motivation.
motivation is.
And it's like, okay, I'm learning. I can't really implement, or I can't really collaborate, or
Yeah.
I can't really use it. And you also need some extracurricular activities that don't involve a laptop or sitting inside. You
Oh
need, you
yeah,
know.
and watching screens.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe to start doing a bit of like physical activities, running and stuff. And I was like, nah, running is not for me. So I didn't go for it.
Yeah, it's okay. So maybe my question is, how do you see, like, are we gonna live through the virus, or will there be a time when we can actually meet and we can greet each other?
I think we are definitely, I mean, we are going to get over this, but I think it will be really painful. And especially with the fact that, like, back in July or August, I had this expectation that, you know, oh, well, the September will start, October will start, things will get a bit more stable, and, you know, everything will calm down because we already have a mechanism to cope with it, etc. But boy, I was wrong, because the number of cases has increased sharply. And to be honest, partially is because when I was going out, let's say, I don't know, somewhere to shops or whatever, on Fridays and Saturdays, I would see people sitting in the restaurants, not necessarily inside, but outside, but still, like, you know, sitting next to each other. And the funny thing is that, okay, when you go and order something, you have a mask on, or let's say a waiter comes to you and asks your order, you have a mask on. But then, as soon as you sat down with other people, you take it off, and it's like, okay, what kind is this? Like, does this make sense? Are we still protecting, or is this just, in a way, mask wearing became a bit more formal thing? It wasn't really. It was like, okay, the government says we need to do it outside. That's it. When we sit down, how are we gonna eat or drink without a mask? And so, coming
You
to the
make holes in the mask.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you saw a lot of design masks. You know, I'm cool, I'm wearing a black mask or
Yeah, of
whatever.
course.
Of course, people started sort of, you know, adapting it to themselves. But do I think we're gonna get over it? I think, yeah, maybe end of next year, potentially mid next year, and next year. Because with all the vaccination and stuff, it's gonna take a long time. Belgium, for example, I can give you an example that, like, in the beginning, a lot of countries had already a rapid testing mechanism in place. Belgium ha started having some sort of a mechanism around September, October, like a good sort of a sustainable testing mechanism. And so imagine now, when you have vaccine and it's available for countries to use, there's a lot of extra steps that will need to be taken to actually propagate it and bring it to people, and they start sort of using it. And, you know, so I think it's just going to take a very long time. Up to a year for us to go back to normal. But there's a lot of uncertainty as well, and that uncertainty is what makes things very difficult for everybody.
Yeah,
What do you think?
I think this is just a great example of just thinking about that life is not certain, and anything can happen. And when you think about anything can happen, nobody even thought about that. If even if there was a pandemic, well, I didn't even know what a pandemic was, but now I know that everything will fall apart. Like whole aviation industry, hospitality industry, tourism, it just gone for now. And I think it's just an eye opener that things are not under our control. Like it's a very philosophical sense, but firstly going to the practical sense that I think it's kind of both. We kind of are living right now. We are coexisting with the virus, and this is end of October in 2020, and I think we have lived through the pandemic all year, and unfortunately we will do the rest of the year as well. So I think we just need to coexist. And about the vaccine, I think end of next year is a valid deadline. Not a deadline, but like an approximation. So I would also guess by the end of next year that there are some vaccine and we have some shots of it.
Well, some countries will already have it. So Russia, for example, and they already have a vaccine. I don't know how effective it is, but yeah, they for some because for them or for certain economies, having another lockdown and having more a period where people don't really buy or don't interact with certain businesses, it's going to be detrimental for those businesses. And the same across Europe as well. So a lot of businesses might go bankrupt if the government doesn't step in. And this is where also, like you mentioned, a very good thing in terms of like uncertainty is that, like, you okay, we have capitalism. Okay, we have like a free enterprise, but we all know that you need some sort of a governing body that controls or has oversight of everything, such as the government, and has sufficient power to actually go in and save people or save businesses or save the environment or, you know, pump more money into it. And so we can't just be like, oh, you know, like we shouldn't allow the government, because if there was no corona times, people would be like, you know, my freedom. And they are still,
Yeah, no,
yeah.
I think for the year 2020 there were quite a great assumptions or predictions that these things will happen, or just tourism will go over and the economies will rise again and again, and then everything is down.
Yeah, that's
So you're right. I think a strong government, in the sense that an enterprise that can take care of you. So I think that's where government comes in.
and that's where you can see, for example, even though the virus originated in China, due to its sort of political and economical structure and system, they can easier and faster respond to it, because you know, if somebody says at the top, they say, look, you got to do this, blah blah blah, etc. Instead of, you know, somebody saying, look, we got to do this, and let's discuss this, and let's sit together, and let's discuss it tomorrow again. We didn't come to a conclusion. Let's discuss it tomorrow again. And I'm not saying like a democracy doesn't work in situations like this. I think it works, but it's just slower. Because then if you start asking everybody for opinion, and that's kind of what happens. Maybe in more sort of democratic environments, if you start asking certain people for opinion, and you don't have decision makers as, like, you know, scientists or specialists who know these things, then you're going to end up with a late response. And in this situation, you late response can cost you a lot. And we can
Yeah,
see that.
but also, I mean, this virus is just such an innovative virus
Yeah.
that you don't get the symptoms for maybe 14 days, and it affects different people in different sense, different ways. So this virus is so unique; it just sounds like a movie
Yeah, but nature
because it
is
doesn't even
innovative.
sound real.
Nature is innovative, and I'm telling you, I don't think this is the last virus we're gonna see. Because I remember
You
Bill.
sound like Bill Gates.
Yeah, because but he is right. He's right.
Yeah, I mean, he was right. He said it last
Yeah,
year,
is
so.
it exactly that? Like the probability of these things happening is very high, and we need to build systems and mechanisms in place to deal with this. But when something doesn't happen to us, we're like, yeah, it's probably not gonna happen. Like, you don't go, let's say, you don't go to a dentist when you don't have a toothache. You go when you ache. Well, at least some cultures. At least some
Yeah,
cultures.
no, it is right.
Yeah. And yes, and so, yeah.
I think it's a valid point, and that's how where the preparedness comes in. Like, I think different countries have different disaster management tools
Yeah.
and regulations. So this has been the best time, and this is still going on. Like, how they are protecting their citizens and residents, and since also it's linked to economies, everything has been quite political all over the world. Like, people getting virus, all the politicians get virus, and then they don't, and then they still don't care. So that's.
Yeah, because the death rate, I don't remember what the exact numbers, but even if you get it,
It's not,
for certain
it's
countries, the
around,
percentage probability is very low that you are actually going to die.
Okay, Cameron, I have a spicy part for us to
Yeah,
make it
spicy part.
spicier this episode.
Yeah.
It is that because since it's a quite a fast, rapid changing world, and this is the end of October 2020, what would you predict for end of October 2021? We can always come back to it. because this will be recorded.
What I think will happen, there will be certain like dimensions, and then maybe for each of these dimensions, you have different sort of outcomes. One dimension is work. Well, I think we've seen already work is remote. Some countries were already prepared for it because they had good digital systems in place, etc. In Belgium, for example, there isn't a very good digital mechanism when it comes to like government and etc. But I think end of October or end of October 2021, a lot of companies will have a mechanism in place which allows to people to work permanently from home, from distance, remotely. When it comes to our health, I think we're still going to be wearing masks, and that's still going to go. I think by that time there will be already mechanism to go and get a vaccine. Not everyone will get it right away because you have priorities and certain groups of population, etc., but there will be a possibility. I think more and more people will start using like tracing apps. I think, but at the same time, I hope because they can be really useful to reduce like exposure from a health standpoint. From our social interactions, people are going to be very much distanced. The number of weddings has decreased dramatically, and I think moving forward, that's gonna sort of people are gonna ponder with the question: is it even worse? I mean, in Europe, they have been pondering with that, but maybe even further, they'll be like, okay, maybe it's not even worth to have it because it's just extra cost, and we have lived through a period where nobody had a wedding and nobody died, so it was fine. From social interactions, yeah, I think people are going to be a bit more distant with each other. But at the same time, yeah, sort of still crave for social interactions. I don't know if there will be a lot of digital opportunities for social interactions because there's as much. You can hear the voice, you can see the video, but you know, sitting with someone and talking and having a coffee is completely different.
So, like holograms.
Yeah, holograms. I don't think we're gonna have holograms next year. That's for sure.
Not yet.
Even
Okay.
if we have
Okay.
it's going to be like a prototype. And I mean,
Yeah.
I can't imagine how companies or organizations in Belgium would be like, oh yeah, let's use it for I don't know, for some purpose. That's not gonna happen. So
I think I've seen
yeah.
some betas in that sense that you wear a VR headset and then the other person also is wearing a VR headset and it's somehow gamified that you see them and they see you and then you can talk.
Yeah,
But that's a very beta
but
version.
it's not going to happen because even today, if you look at the price of the VR headsets, they are super expensive. So I am not sure if in 1 year they'll be able to bring it down to 10, 20, 50 euros so people can be like, okay, that it's worth it. I should buy it. So that's, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So yeah, that's what I think in that perspective. Maybe a lot of people will be doing sports, you know, sort of just running and cycling or whatever. I'm personally planning to get bikes to do cycling because that's kind of like a good way to do a bit of exercise, but at the same time keep social distancing and reduce the impact and things like this. Yeah, that's what I could think of. What about you? How do you envision?
I think that's great that you divided into so many dimensions, and I think those dimensions are quite valid because at work things have moved online. From work from home is much more appreciated. So I think this will be a business wide dimension that I mean, companies would save money just by letting people work from home. And by mask, I think also people will be wearing more masks if we don't have a vaccine, and even if we do, it won't be supplied to everyone. So there could be a mechanism, but there wouldn't be. But I hope that most people, are recovered. And yeah, I don't know. I still think that something will happen that we haven't expected yet. So.
Yeah, another pandemic. And then you're like,
Yeah, Corona 20, 2021.
2021, yeah, edition, yeah. No, but hopefully that doesn't happen. I mean, people are gonna lose it if that happens because there's also increasing discomfort with how governments are, you know, preventing our freedoms and all this.
Yeah, but I think we will be much more. I think by middle of next year, we will all be much more kind of coexisting with the virus, such as wearing masks, while I think there would be some tourism, and tourism will be heavily coordinated with like testing. So we will be tested on arrival or departure, and that how people would travel. Let's see what happens.
You know what I was curious, like about work, remote work. I've been sort of pondering about it. Like, if, for example, if companies go digital and they make people work, we have quite a few people who joined the company while we were in lockdown and everything, and they never saw their colleagues. They work remotely, etc. That kind of also shows, and this process works. You know, those people come to work, they start working remotely or whatever. I wonder if there's going to be a possibility where we could just sort of live somewhere else, but then still work remotely for a specific company or entity. Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think that's going to be a bit more popular? Like freelancing, but more on a registered basis.
Yeah, I think it's already there that it happens. I think for some companies, like maybe some small startups, that people work from all around the world. But I think this kind of model would be adapted by bigger companies, because right now there are just restrictions of traveling, of different people traveling at different places. So there's that restriction. But yeah, I think that would be more. And I think it's a bonus for the company that if they get the work done, it doesn't matter
From where they work,
where the
but
worker
I was
is.
exploring this and I kind of asked about it, and they said that I was the response was that the problem with this approach is the insurance, because when you actually work from let's say now you work from home and you still, because you know if you go to the office and something happens to you during work time, you're covered by work insurance, you know, so not just your personal insurance but the work insurance. But if you start living somewhere else in a different country and you work, and something happens to you during work, then the company there's no mechanism where it can actually the insurance would kick in and do some sort, like you know, fix the issue.
But that's how innovation comes in, and I think there would be an innovation where they would find a solution for this problem. And as you said, I mean, if you find a problem, then only you find a solution.
So
So I think you have found a problem,
you are
and
pitching me a startup right now to create. Should we do this? Should we create a startup that would take? I have a plan. We create a startup that takes care of this. We steal everyone's money and then we just run.
I think people have done it before. We can always do it.
That's
So.
true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that's an interesting. I think like in the
I think scams are always a profitable
and
business, not that anyone has to do
especially
it.
these days, especially these times. I would say that the
Yeah,
number
yeah.
of like people receiving fake messages and fake calls and all this kind of stuff has definitely increased.
Yeah, I think the other day I received $1 million from WHO, but I didn't reply.
You didn't reply, Rahul. Next time,
No.
maybe it's legitimate, like they give you $1 million for whatever reason.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting point because I wish that would be cool. That would be true. Like that, I could go live in, let's say, Spain, and I would still have insurance and everything, and I can work remotely
Yeah.
and get the work done. But anyways, yeah, I think to go towards the concluding remarks, these are very difficult. I wouldn't say difficult, but these are weird times, and we've tried to adapt and live with the virus and live with the environment, with the situation and how things are. And I think moving forward, we will just keep on adapting, keep on living, coexisting with the virus until we find a solution. And I can only wish everybody patience, and I can wish everybody you know, ability to see this situation from a positive side, like an enabler for them to do things that they would never do otherwise. And yeah, and on this note, I would conclude. What are your some your last words?
I think my thoughts are that in this kind of situation that we learn that nothing is quite certain, so we should be ready for things that we are not prepared for. But that doesn't mean we have to be helpless. We can always improvise, adapt, and hence overcome. So I think that's my giveaway, that don't worry about any situation. I mean, Corona is a worldwide situation, but something even something personal happens, and then you think everything has gone away, or it doesn't feel right, or something. And I think you can always improvise, adapt, and overcome, because that's how the world works.
So keep calm and stay inside
Until you're
until
allowed to
you're
go
allowed
outside.
to, until you're allowed to go outside. And on
Yeah.
this note, we conclude this episode. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your support. We have one more episode, the last episode of the season, that will be next time, next week potentially. And we're going to talk about a concluding topic that trumps all of our topics. Keyword Trump. 2020. No, and
We have no
we
political
have no political affiliation.
affiliations.
We do not live in USA. Maybe thankfully, but anyways, if you have any questions, please reach out to us. Meanwhile, stay safe. Stay sane, and keep on living.
Yeah, thank
Thank
you
you
for
for
listening.
listening.